Stephen Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how Land Academy costs less than one college course.
Isn't that amazing?
I talked about this in the content of one of our podcasts, I think, last week, and it exploded on Discord.
Well, everybody, it struck a chord with me, too.
Me, too.
So I like, this is worth talking about, you know, what the value and just how things change, you know, how the value of this, the value of trade schools, the value of college degrees, they all have a place.
Everybody, I mean, there's probably 40 entries in there about personal, some of it, a lot of it's personal experiences about college degrees that people, other types of degrees they wish they got, how the degrees that they got have treated them well, and then invariably cost. So, you know, Jill and I looked it up this morning because we were horsing around a little bit. Over a cup of coffee. So yeah, we'll share it in a second. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free. If you're already a member, join us on Discord.
If you're a member of Land Academy, that is. So yes, Joseph wrote, on a recent mailing campaign, I ran into an issue with a property owner listing his vacant land for sale with a realtor. He told me he will sell the land to me once his contract expires with the realtor. Evidently, the relationship had soured. That happens.
This is very common.
Yeah. My question is this. If I wait until the contract with the realtor expires and put it under contract, would this be considered ethical? I'm not real superstitious, but I don't want any bad juju. You know what? Yeah. There is a conflict here. And it's usually, isn't it if they bring someone in within, you know, during the course of the contract, and then there's always a tail end of the expiration thing. I have to go back and read the exact verbiage, but I'm not loving this because I don't want to piss anybody off, but I think you have a different opinion.
I do.
There we go, and we're going to hear it.
Please, number one, this is a contract. That's mm-hmm. It's a contract. There shouldn't be very much emotion. I'm not, Joseph, this is a great question. I love answering this stuff, and thank you for asking it. This is not personal at all. It's a contract, and the terms of the contract are going to dictate everybody's behavior and those outcomes. So please read it. There's always, in my opinion, a trailing period mm-hmm. of a listing where and I believe that it says now, or it may be changed. Chances are it's changed now because lawyers love to change these listing agreements minute by minute. But it used to say, if an agent introduces somebody to a property,
If it's identified during that time, and
they do buy it 6 months after the expiration of the contract, then
they still are due.
You owe me money.
Exactly. Now, whether or not they, because you know what, and you found it. Well, you know what, that's a tough. So this is a tough one too. You didn't find it obviously because of the listing. So there is a bit of a gray area. I'm not going to do.
That's not gray. Well, the contract's not gray at all. It's black and white.
I know.
Whoever buys this property.
But you know what's gray? What's gray is, you have to read the contract. Does it say if anybody came forward
yeah.
or if I right. identify this person? Because technically, you found this property on your own by a mailer and didn't know it was listed on the MLS. That's what I mean by a gray area. But the contract's going to tell you, that may not even matter. Just may say if a buyer comes forward during the time that I represent you. And then the thing is, too, the agent could argue that was not true. The agent could argue that, no, I'm sure my listing is what brought this person forward. So the bottom line is, do the right thing, everybody. That's it.
In the sea of unethical behavior by realtors and brokers and everyone with a real estate license, this is a tiny little drop in the bucket. Yeah. I would take pleasure in selling this property 2 minutes after this contract expired if it's not a breach of contract to the person that you identified. I 180 degrees disagree with Jill.
Okay.
And I have.
Well, I'm just saying, do what the contract says.
When's the last time you said?
We're both agreeing with do what the contract says.
When's the last time?
Right.
When's the last? Yeah, do it for sure. But now that, but that's not what he's asking.
Okay.
The title of it is, and I didn't put this in here. I should have. Is this is an ethical faux pas? And so no. There's 50 people. Joseph is the seller. I mean the buyer.
Right. No, the seller's the one that's even suggesting this. That's where it starts.
Buyer, who is both Joseph, they've agreed on a price. They like the piece of dirt. Mm-hmm. They don't like the realtor. Wait till the thing expires and buy it. I don't have a problem with that at all, as long as there's no contractual issues with it in any way.
I agree. I understand.
People don't walk around and say, wow, that real estate agent I just dealt with is really, really ethical. I really appreciate that. They were honest about everything and told me everything up front, and they're conscientious.
Well, you are just happy-go-lucky today, aren't you?
Hey, you know what? I picked these questions for a reason. Okay. And it has nothing to do with Joseph and everything to do with my mild disdain for real estate agents.
I don't feel the same, but okay.
Today's topic, Land Academy costs less than one college course. This is the meat of the show. Oh my God, Jack, what is your problem with real estate agents?
Isn't it funny? You know what? It's not real estate agents. I'd like to say this. It's people who just don't do what they're supposed to do. How's that? And that's the truth. No, seriously, because there are great ones out there that I work with. I just signed with one just the other day to list a property here in LA County for us. And he's like, I know how you guys feel. I'm like, no. For the not good ones, and you know who they are. He's like, yeah, I know who they are too. That's the point. So we don't just poo-poo them all.
We have a lot to say about it. I do.
This one does.
You know, I don't know what the percentages are. I have recent, really recent experience, but super bad taste in my mouth about certain stuff.
I know you do. But unless you want to make this Jack rant Monday.
No.
Okay. Are we going to talk about the topic?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So it was funny. This conversation came up. You said it in passing the other day, and it really struck a chord with a lot of people, including me. I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know, and so we started looking up college credits. And what was it back when you went to college? It was like, it crept up to $60.
It was between $40 and $60 through four years of undergraduate.
Yeah. As a freshman going in
to Michigan State.
In-state tuition, Michigan State. Then we looked up what it is today, and it's $482 a credit hour for in-state tuition freshman 2020, I think it was. Yeah, it was 2020 college tuition. I'm like, wow.
You can put yourself through college back then.
Right. And you can't do that. A lot of places you can't do that.
It's very, very, that's an extraordinary situation.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Most kids, you can't work your part-time job. Take your class. That was good back then, that you could work your part-time job, you know, do your homework, and still have Friday nights to have fun with your friends.
So it led us to this conversation, Jill and I, which is why it made it into the topic today, about education.
Yeah.
And how important education is and where you get it. And my motto has always been, more education is always better. Mm-hmm. Wherever you can get it, get it. The internet's a wonderful resource. An amazing improvement on all of our lives, in my opinion, mm-hmm. from an educational standpoint. There's so much free content, including this, uh-huh. out there, and I'm happy to provide it.
Yeah,
you know, I'm at a point in my life where I'm ready to share all the knowledge.
Yeah, and, you know, we so kind of are.
That's what Land Academy is.
Yeah,
and so, but at some point, we do have to charge just uh-huh. to keep the lights on. And Land Academy is not a huge profit center. Mm-mm. It keeps the lights on and some the food on the table for us and our employees.
Right. Who are needed for Land Academy.
But in a few episodes from now, somebody, this week, somebody asks real detailed questions about why Land Academy, is it good to join? And here's my question. So in a couple of days, we'll talk about that. But mm-hmm. the value, it has to look, for me, I'm a value shopper mm-hmm. on everything. I don't care, you know, I buy used cars. For a reason, there's a lot of value in it, the right used cars. So I think Land Academy is a massive,
oh my God.
There's massive value in it. And there's a lot of different ways to look at that. And one of them is looking at it against the cost of other sources of education.
I have on many occasions heard people say this exact sentence, wow, in one or two deals, it just paid for the whole thing. You can't do that. I can't right. think of any other thing. Like, even if I go to, you know, UTI or MMI, I'm an automotive mechanic. My first job, I got to work a full year.
Yeah, at least.
And then some to start to pay back what I did. And degrees, you got to work. How many people are still paying college degrees? Because it's expensive and your job doesn't pay for that back yeah. right that fast. I can't think of any. I'm a huge fan of trade schools.
Me too. I mean, well, on Discord, it ultimately led to two things. Which degrees pay?
Oh, that's good.
And which degrees don't, obviously, and then
that's brilliant.
Then the costs.
Right.
And so our group, as you know, if you listen to the show, is packed full of engineers and accountants and yeah. people like that. And everybody agreed, even the people with different types of degrees agreed that, you know, a medical tech degree or a mechanics degree or a plumbing degree or a medical doctor degree or anything in healthcare or technical sciences, that always pays.
Yeah.
I mean, you need that education. You want a doctor degree to go through 7 years
some
of
training.
Medical school. Yeah.
You don't want a guy to, can you imagine, like, you don't want an electrician to come out and go, well, we'll just figure out what each wire is one at a time on your dime at your house. No, I want you to know what you're doing before you come and rip up my walls. And redo my plumbing. Go, oh, that's the hot.
Versus, I don't know, let's say like getting a real estate license where you go to school for 40 hours and listen to people tell you how to pass the exam. They don't teach you anything. It's all just sliding under the rug.
Now, I will agree with that because we both went through it. I'm going to tell you all the way to the end, passing the test, getting the fingerprint card, everything but mailing it in. So I want you to know that I'm not just guessing here. We really did. And they didn't talk about working with people. And they didn't talk about selling. All the things that I thought that you would do, it was just about, you need to know this on the test.
Yep.
Just about different easements and things like that, because they come up on the test. And how questions are worded, because they come up on the test this way. I'm like, yeah, what about really doing my job and helping people, you know, find the property and how to properly, you know, listen to them and, you know, ways to search, you know, properties for all of their exact needs. I don't know. Little things like that could have been nice.
A lot of years ago, I took an online course about how to have a Land Academy type company.
Oh.
And here's what you do, and here's a template, and here's how you do it. And it wasn't very long, and I honestly, truthfully, didn't last to the end of the class because it was such BS.
Really?
Yeah, you provide some content like we do. You provide some free content. Then you provide some content where you charge.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a second tier and a third tier and a fourth tier. And ultimately, there's the grand prize of the platinum, you know, walk through the door and the lights turn on. And you pay, congratulations, you spent $100,000. And it's not at the core basic stuff all the same. And that's just not who we are.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know about it because it was so silly.
Yeah, I know of those.
In fact, most of them are like that. Most of the other people who have land courses run their companies like that. So that's just not what we do.
No.
It's a single level of payment and then a subscription-based scenario where everybody learns.
You have
learns,
cheap access to everything you need.
Including capital.
That's it.
And partners and stuff.
And so, we're going to keep you going and we're going to be right here.
So this is, I don't want this to sound like a sales pitch, but it was a huge topic, one of the biggest topics I've seen in Discord, and there was a lot of humor in it. Like, you know, I really regret getting my drama degree.
That's hilarious. I am happy to not be those people with you, and I'm happy you could join us today. Monday through Friday, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called How to Use the Multiple Listing Service, or the MLS, Effectively in Your Land Business. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. And then somebody said, Jack and Jill could have used some drama lessons.
Oh, that's funny. I could see that. Hey, if you need any sort of ownership or property details, including owner phone numbers and FEMA flood map overlays, check out neighborscoop.com or parcelfact.com. Created by investors, that's us. For investors, that's you. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.